Can we come to order for Administration Finance Issues Committee? Roll call, please.
Roll call, Director Yeo. Director Yeo. Director Amezcua.
Here.
Director Nguyen.
Here.
Director Jung.
Present.
Director Green.
Yes.
Director Wigan.
Here.
Director Tran. Director Meeks. Director Sheldon. Director Bilodeau.
Here, joining from Santa Ana.
Oh, you have a quorum of your committee.
Okay. Do we have any items received too late to be agendized?
There are none.
Okay. Visitor participation. Anybody want to speak? Listen.
You sure?
Nobody? Nobody online?
Change the view. Well, this is just because no one's got their picture.
Okay. Moving to the consent calendar. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Roll call.
Roll call, Director Mezqua.
Yes.
Director Nguyen.
Goodbye.
Yes.
Director Jung. Director
Yes. Yeah.
Green.
Yes.
Director Wigan.
Yes.
That motion carries 5-0.
Okay. Moving on to the actuarial valuation of retiree medical insurance benefit plan update.
Randy.
Yes.
Randy.
So the district offers a retiree medical insurance benefit plan to its retirees. And as part of that, an actuarial evaluation is required. Full actuarial evaluation is required to be completed every 2 years. And roll forward evaluations are used between the full evaluation years. And this year is a roll forward evaluation. And with that, Drew Ballard, Senior Actuary from Foster & Foster, our actuary, will be giving a presentation of his actuarial evaluation. And with that, Drew, you can share your
Okay. Everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks, Randy, for the introduction. And just real quick, Drew Ballard, actuary with Foster and Foster. We work for the district for your OPEB benefit valuations and GASB 75 reporting, which is what we'll go over today. I'm going to share my screen. So you should be able to see it here momentarily.
Okay.
You see it okay? Do you see the screen okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. So, kind of as Randy mentioned, just some background. GASB 75 requires that we do a full valuation every 2 years, which is what we did last year for your 23-24 reporting. And when I say full valuation, that really means that we collect a lot of new information on the membership, active employees, the members that are receiving the retiree healthcare benefits. We get that new census data and essentially run it through our actuarial model to determine the liabilities. Okay. So that's kind of our, what the role we play in that is getting that information, running an updated valuation every 2 years to determine, the value of the benefits that are being paid to your current and future retirees. And then you guys are currently pre-funding those liabilities with a Section 115 OPEB trust. So we collect that asset information and determine recommended contributions. That's the full valuation. The GASB 75 that we're going to be going over today, as Randy mentioned, is just a roll forward. So we didn't collect any new data except for the asset information. GASB 75 requires we do the full valuation every 2 years, but and the GASB 75 is required every year. So you don't need to do an updated valuation, get new data every year, but you do have to report under GASB 75 every year. So they allow us to just basically do a roll forward. So the underlying liabilities that are being used for this year's GASB 75 as well as last year's are based on that June 30, 2023 valuation. We'll do a new valuation sometime in the next 12 months for next year's reporting. So not much change on the liability side, and then we'll go over the assets. So page one just kind of goes over this. So we use a measurement date of June 30, 2024 for your 2025 reporting. And the reason that that's the most common practice across the agencies and the industry, because that allows more effective timing for your audit. Otherwise, we'd have to get that new census data as of June 30, 2025, run an updated valuation. That'd be very tough to accomplish, within a month after fiscal year end. So the assets that we're going to be looking at and the liabilities are based on a snapshot date, essentially as of June 30, 2024 for your 2024-25 reporting. So as I mentioned, you guys are pre-funding your OPEB liabilities with a trust. That trust is in PARs, in their balanced funds. So you got about 60% equities, 40% fixed income is the way that is allocated. And if I go down to page five, here's where we just have a snapshot of what the liabilities is compared to the assets for the last two reporting years. So you can see last year, liabilities were about 27.7 million. Assets were 27.3 million. So there was a net liability of 400,000. You were about 99% funded, as of last year. If we look forward 12 months from there, essentially what we saw was the assets grew faster than the liabilities grew. And I'll go over that in a second. But at this point, your net OPEB liability is actually an asset, right? You're $1.8 million overfunded on the roll forward basis. So you're about 106% funded. Randy and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Looking across just our client base across the state, first of all, we've got about 70% of our clients that actually are pre-funding liabilities with the trust. The other 30% just do the pay-go benefits out of the pocket, right? They're not receiving some of the benefits that you are from pre-funding. And of those 70% that do actually pre-fund, the average funded ratio is, somewhere in the 60s, 60s, 65, some north, around 70 on average. So you guys, at this point, over 100% funded. So, looking across the state, really, really healthy shape there for your trust that's designed to ultimately pay benefits, and you're reaping the benefits by contributing early on and investing that and producing investment earnings on an annual basis for those contributions. Page six is really where we get into the reconciliation of those two items, right? The total liability and the assets. So as I said, this year is a roll forward. We're really just running forward the liability. So the service cost is really what benefits are being earned in the year plus some interest. So your liabilities only grew by about 1.2 million. There's no new data, so there's no changes in experience. There were no assumption changes needed for our model. We review that when we do every full valuation, essentially, unless there's a reason not to. So your liability again ended up 28.9 million. Your assets, we started at 27.3, grew to about 30.8. So your assets grew about 3.4 million, while your liabilities grew 1.2. So about $2.2 million more growth in assets than your liabilities. That was really driven from two primary components. One, you can see the net investment income. So on that $27 million plus some of the inflows and outflows, the net investment income during 23-24, because remember this is a snapshot as of June 30, 2024, was about 3.7 million. Okay. So we expect on a long-term average, this fund is going to earn about 5.75% per year. And in 23-24, it earned about 13.5%. So you produced, really nice investment year for 23-24. So your assets grew more than your liabilities, and that's what flipped that funded status from 99% to over 100% funded. If I were to look forward and say, hey guys, what do I expect the next 12 months to look like? Well, obviously we need to do our full valuation, so liabilities could change, differently than they do during a roll forward. But from an asset perspective, 24-25 was another strong investment year. So, I would expect another double-digit return, honestly. I don't know if you've received that yet, but that's going to further push your net liability, or your sorry, your your net open liability in further of a, asset position, I think next year when we get around to it. So I'm just going to flip through a couple other highlights that I think are good to go over. Looking at, when we do our full valuation, as I mentioned, this is the accounting stuff we're going over. We do a funding valuation. We say, hey, district, based on the new results, based on the new data, based on the new asset levels, here's what we think the recommended contribution should be to the trust or reimbursement from the trust because you get credit for the benefit payments paid in any given year. We basically give you 2 years worth of recommended contributions. And that's what we did in our last full valuation. So for 24-25, the year that just ended, we recommended total contributions plus benefit payments of 684,000, and the district contributed essentially 958,000. So contributed 274,000 more dollars than the actuarially determined contribution, which is a term under GASB 75, and it's really just our recommended contribution based on our valuation. So if you tag that on top of the what I expect to be another double-digit return for 24-25, you can further see that I think our funded status or the district's funded status is going to continue to increase when we get around to doing that valuation and we get around to doing next year's GASB 75 reporting. And the contributions on page 20, this really shows you the contributions. How we developed that total 640,000. So essentially what you have is, like I said, you get credit for the benefit payments made. So you guys contribute about $1.1 million on that paygo. So the subsidy that you're paying to your retirees, and you actually took a reimbursement from the trust to cover those benefit payments. So that's a net zero. But then you get credit for the implicit subsidy as well, which is essentially, the subsidy created by the actives paying the same amount as early retirees, but not having as much cost. And then you contributed 640,000 to the trust. So when you add up the implicit subsidy plus that 640,000, that's how we get to that 958 that was above the actuary determined contribution. So when I look at this, what I would say is I think the district, by taking those reimbursements for the benefits you're paying essentially out of your general assets, is a really good thing that you should be doing because you're in that 100% funded status. That's what this was designed to do. When you made the decision to pre-fund your OPEB liabilities, at some point you want to be able to use the trust to cover those benefit payments that are being made, and you did that. And when we do our full valuation, we'll update those recommended contribution amounts, and it may be that the trust contributions that you're budgeting could come down or possibly even be eliminated. Depending on, those conversations that will take place during our next full valuation. So, I talk about the OPEB expense, which is, was something you have to report in your financial statements. That was actually, if I go back to page 4, I think it was, sorry, page 8, you can actually see the OPEB expense was negative, so it was actually an income for this year, which is, not a required disclosure, but even if I were to look at what we expect going forward, your deferred inflows are quite a bit more than your deferred outflows, which means there's gains that haven't been recognized in that expense that you'll continue to receive. So, all in all, even though it's not the most exciting report on a roll forward basis, a lot of good news there in that your expense is actually an income. And your funded status increased, from 99% to now being in a surplus type position. Any questions on the information provided, the general process here, or anything about the plan that I could cover? That's really the highlights that I did want to go over from a from a from for the from a roll forward basis.
I'm not seeing any hands raised. You? No? No, we're good. Good
Okay.
report.
Okay. Yes. Yes, indeed. An easy one to present this year.
Do I have a motion?
Chair Green, I just wanted to compliment staff and, everyone that's worked on this. This is a big deal for a lot of folks out there that show that we're good stewards of the taxpayer dollar, and appreciate everyone's hard work to get this to where it's at. Like he said in the report, there's not many government agencies that are doing what we're doing. And so I think that maybe is something we should look at, public affairs, getting out there and spreading the word and letting folks know, maybe on social, or maybe create like a one pager, just an infographic that says that what we're doing is above and beyond what other agencies are, and we should take credit for certain things like this. And this is one example that we can do that. So just kind of throwing my thoughts out there on that.
We'll talk to Public Affairs Director Wygant.
Great.
Do I have a motion for the recommended action?
I'll second.
Okay.
I'll make the motion, sorry.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Roll call.
Roll call. Director Mesquite?
Yes.
Director Nguyen?
Yes.
Director Dung? Director Jung?
Thank
you. Director Green?
Yes.
Director Wygant?
Yes.
The motion carries 5-0.
Okay. Informational item, we have cash disbursements in the agenda.
It actually is not in the agenda. We missed a deadline, but we're going to put it on in the board agenda for next week.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we put everything on consent calendar for the board?
Sounds good. Action?
Okay. Do we have any director's announcements or reports? General manager?
I just wanted to make the board aware that I will be out next week, be vacationing in Yosemite with my family, and Mehul Patel will be acting general manager.
Okay. Have a great vacation, and we are adjourned. Help yourself to lunch.
Thank you.